tonight is, this morning, is going to be familiar to you. It's been on my mind, well, for 2 weeks, because before I preached last Sunday's sermon, I knew this was going to be the follow-up sermon. So that takes me back a little ways, and it's amazing always how other things fall into place and come around that when you know what you're going to preach on in advance like that. But I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to begin reading verse 3, and we're just going to read two verses, verse 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Now, I know this is Palm Sunday. So everybody show me your palms. All right, we got that covered. Now let's go on. Next week, I promise, I will preach on the resurrection of Christ. All right, but that was your palm for this for today. Or we could turn to the book of Psalms and pronounce it palms, and we could do that too. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Last Sunday morning I preached on you on sheep. And I showed you how we, in the Bible used the sheep of all animals to portray us and show us exactly what we are spiritually. Again, spiritually, we're dumb. Spiritually, we're directionless. Spiritually, we're dependent on a shepherd. And I appreciate the many comments I got about the message, but I felt before I preached that, I said, all right, Lord, after that, then I've got to encourage them a little bit. So today I'm going to tell you you're a soldier. That ought to be better than a sheep. That'll make you feel a little bit better of yourself. I want to give you this morning the ABCs of a good soldier. Now, if you know in the ABCs, there are 26 letters in the alphabet, so hang on. And we'll try to give them to... Actually, I'm going to give you the A, the B, and the C of good soldiering, so you don't have to worry. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this gathering this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to fellowship with each other. God, what a blessing and encouragement it is. We thank you for the church. We thank you for the fellowship, the congregation of the saints. Father, we're thankful that we can be uplifted, we can be encouraged by this fellowship. And Father, we pray you would make us mindful that we're here not just to be a blessing, to get a blessing, but Father, we're here to be a blessing to someone else. Lord, we never know when we come in and shake hands and greet someone, that, Father, how much we might just be an encouragement to them in the time of their despondency or their trials. So Lord, make us mindful of others this morning. Bless this message to our hearts. Father, encourage us. God, give us direction. Help us to acknowledge the fact that we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. God, there could be no higher calling than to be your representative down here on this earth. Father, make us mindful of that, appreciative of that. Father, respectful of that. Should there be one today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, God, we pray that throughout the midst of this, that God, the thing you would make clear to them is their need for eternal life. Father, show them the redemption that was provided for them in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Father, bring them to a saving knowledge of our Savior. And for we that are saved, may you encourage us, may you challenge us from the preaching of your word today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. As we look this morning at the ABCs of being a good soldier, again, I'm just going to give you 3 points, one that starts with A, one that starts with B, one that starts with C. That'll make it very simple, easy to follow along. But I want to give you a challenge about being a good soldier for Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't just say you're a soldier of Christ, but it said He has chosen us to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So you got promoted, if we can say it. Now we don't throw out the sheep part, but you've been promoted from a sheep to a soldier. That's a wonderful promotion. That's a good stripe on your arm to show your rank. To be brought out from the sheep of His fold and made a soldier in the army of the Lord. Our children sing it downstairs that I can't remember the words. I may never march in the infantry, but I'm in the Lord's army. That's what we teach them from a young age. And we are the army of the Lord. So let's talk this morning about what it takes to be a good soldier. Number one, you need to maintain good appearance. Maintain good appearance. There's our letter A. Now I know that this, out of all the things you would think of a soldier, you'd say, well, that's not the first thing. No, we're giving that first because it starts with A. We have to start, those of you that might not know this, A comes before B and C. So we have to start with the A. And so we're talking about maintaining good appearance. There are few things in this world that are more sharp and more striking and you'll forgive me, fellas, for just a moment, than a Marine in his dress blue uniform. I mean, just to see that uniform and somebody walking around with that white belt around the center and that hat and the brim shined and the blue pants with the red stripe, if they're an NCO down the side, and all, just the appearance of that draws attention, does it not? And though I might be partial, I understand it's not just the Marines. Jonathan was here a couple of weeks ago in his uniform from West Point. Wasn't that impressive? He came in and stood in that uniform, and I don't know what it all represents, that red sash that was around the center, and then he had his National Defense ribbon on here, carrying his hat under his arm just like he's supposed to carry it. That's an impressive sight. You notice that when a soldier is in the room. Linda sent me a picture this week of Marshall down in Texas with his dad and his brother, and a picture of them, and he's in his uniform, and that little beret hat that comes off the side there, and just that sharp green uniform, and he had a pair of blue trousers on with the shoes that just shine. We are impressed with the appearance of a soldier. A soldier takes a lot of pride in his appearance. Now you say, well, preacher, where in the world are you going with this? Simply this. Our appearance need never contradict the fact that we're a soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, folks like to say, well, you know, your appearance doesn't really matter. God, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. I challenge you, if you want to use that verse, let's sit down together and look at that verse, because I don't think that verse means what you think it means. When you say it doesn't matter how you look on the outside, God looks on the heart. That's not what that verse is talking about. And our appearance reflects our faith in Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. And can we say it in this day? I was talking with Brother Gary. He didn't know what I was going to preach on. I always love that. When people give you meat for a sermon and they have no idea what they're doing. He was talking about a preacher that everybody respects and a preacher that everybody honors. He was talking about his son in the ministry. How when he preaches now, he sits on a little stool up at the front with his, jacket over his polo shirt and his jeans on and his sandals under that. You know what the problem is? That's not a soldier. That's not a soldier. A soldier takes some pride in his appearance. He wants to look different from everybody else. That's what a soldier does. He looks different from everybody else that's around him. When a soldier enters the room, you know somebody has entered the room. When you go to a restaurant after church, it ought to be that people say, those folks came from church. There ought to be a way they can just recognize and say, hey, you can tell by the way they look. They came from church. There's something about their appearance. Now, I'm not giving you a list of dress code. God knows I'd like to. I'm not giving you a list of dress code. I'm not telling you what you should wear and all that. But I'm just saying this. Be mindful of the fact that you do not represent yourself. You represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we get that through our head? We represent, we are His ambassadors, are we not, in this world? Well, I wonder sometimes how disgusting the Lord gets with the appearance of His ambassadors, the appearance of His soldiers. Now, if you're at home, God bless you. Look however you want to look. Nobody has to see it. But when we go out, I'm not telling you I'm not saying you need to have Ben's haircut. All right, that looks like a good military haircut, doesn't it? I'm not saying you need to have a military haircut. I'm not saying you need to wear in the shoes. But I'm just saying that we need to remember that our appearance does reflect on our Savior, Jesus Christ. We live in a society today that wants to eliminate all that and say, it doesn't really matter. I'm here to say it does matter. Now, I know that's old-fashioned. I know that's traditional. I know that's conservative. But that's better than newfangled, contemporary, and modernistic. We need to remember, when Jonathan was here in that uniform, when any soldier wears a uniform, he's not wearing that for you to be proud of him. He's not wearing that because of his ego. He's not wearing that because he wants it. You know why? Because he knows who he represents. He represents the U.S. Army. He represents the Navy. He represents the Air Force. And his appearance needs to reflect who he represents. May we be mindful, folks, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we need to be mindful of who we represent. When we get up in the morning, it's not, Lord, what? It's not, I'm going to wear what I want to wear. Lord, what would you have me to wear? Now, again, I'm not going to give you the checklist of what he'd tell you was approved apparel. Now, the military will do that. Military say, here's stuff you're allowed to wear, here's just that. Now, we're a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So ask God, God, is it all right if I look like this? Is it all right if my appearance is this way? Now here's the catch, folks. If you really want to please your commander. if you really want to please the captain of our salvation, then we're going to maintain good appearance. Now, the good appearance they maintain is not just in their uniform and in their bearing, but it's in their conversation. It's in what they do. The Bible tells us, and you know the verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 27, abstain from all appearance of evil. It's appearance that makes a mark. I mentioned to you that we heard Woody Williams, a Medal of Honor recipient. I'll say this, the military guys will agree with me. You do not win the Congressional Medal of Honor. People say, well, what did you do to win? You do not win. It's not a contest. It's not something you go out there with an intent, hey, I'm going to go out today and win the medal. No, you do it for bravery in the battle. And you receive the Congressional Medal of Honor. And Woody Williams got it. He's 91 years old. He's the last survivor, the last living survivor now of the Battle of Iwo Jima. During that battle, he strapped on himself in the heat of that battle when everybody's getting wiped out. He put on, I guess, I didn't know this, but flamethrowers only last so long and you've got to discard them and grab another one. He grabbed six different flamethrowing gear and went in and took out six pillboxes of Japanese. Six of the seven, he took out six of them all by himself with that flamethrower while everybody else was dying around him. And he took those things out. He told us, he's raised in West Virginia, very rural West Virginia. He said, there was nothing in me that ever wanted to go into the military. I didn't have any relatives, no uncles, no fathers that were in the military. I never even grew up thinking about the military. He said, but one day as a young man working on the farm and getting tired of doing this and doing that and doing the other thing, he said, two guys came back from our town that were in the Marines. And he said, the minute they came in and I saw those uniforms and I saw their appearance and I saw their conduct, he said, I wanted to be like them. He said, they came and told me that that I needed to enlist because there was a war going on and somebody was trying to take away our freedom. And what he said is, he said, I thought when they said they were taking away our freedom, I would go join and I would stay here in America and fight these people from coming here and taking away our freedom. He said, I had no idea I was going to go to the South Pacific. He said, I didn't even know there was a South Pacific, being raised in West Virginia. But the thing that attracted him to the military, the thing that wanted him to be a soldier, to be a Marine, was the appearance of others. Now again, I know our appearance isn't going to make other people want to trust Christ as Savior. But may I say, our appearance ought to never turn them away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our appearance, not just physically, but in our conduct. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Where you go is important. Where you go, where you don't go, is noteworthy. You know that in the military, there are some places that are off limits to military personnel. It's not safe for them to go there. It's not a good testimony for them to go there. It's not a place that they belong. So the military will give them places that are off limits. Have you ever asked God, God, what places are off limits to me as your soldier? Now again, I'm not going to tell you what those places are, but I'm just going to ask you to consider before you go somewhere that God might say, no, that place is off limits. Now some of them, obviously the bars and all that, we understand that. But we need to be mindful that not every place is the place that we ought to go. We got to go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And again, this sermon was from 2 weeks ago. I started on it and then all these things fall into it. We got to go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I'd never been there before, never been to Arlington. And we watched that fella in that sharp looking uniform with that long wooden rifle. And he would stand at attention here at this end. He'd stand here for 21 seconds. You could time him. 21 seconds. Just his whole carriage was just straight on and military and straight. And for 21 seconds, he stood there with the arm. Then he would turn and he would click his heels together and switch the arm and get around and stand there for 21 seconds. Then he would take 21 steps, marching to the other side. And again, they're trained so perfectly that when he walks, you could see his feet. His feet would go like this, where he's putting one foot in front of the other, and his head just glided. It didn't bob up and down, just everything precise, just impressive. And he would take 21 steps to the other end till he'd stop, then he'd do his thing and his kick out, and then he'd stand here for 21 seconds. After that, he'd turn back this way, kick it together, stand here for 21 seconds, take 21 steps. For an hour, he does that, back and forth and back and forth. Brother Harding, we asked him, what's the 21? Why everything 21, 21? He said, because that's the total of 1776, 1776. Now, I don't know if that's why they do it or not, but that's why everything's in 21. 21 gun salute, all the 21, in memory of 1776. But what we also found out about those fellows that do that, we watched the changing of the guard and all the precision, and it's just impressive. And we found out that the fellows that volunteer for that job, I don't know if there's any girls that do it, but at least the guys, the fellows that, when they request that position and that job, they have to sign a promise that from that day forward, for the rest of their lives, they will never touch alcohol or tobacco or profanity. Isn't that something? You say, oh, no, you don't know the military mindset if you think that they signed that without any intent of keeping it. They are proud at what they're doing. They're proud of what they represent. To them, it's more than just themselves. It's the whole honor of what they're doing, guarding the tomb of the unknown soldier. And again, talking about God in our government, it says unknown soldier. It says a soldier unknown but to God. That's right there on the tomb. Unknown but to God. Don't tell me God wasn't in everything back then. But here's a fellow that makes a promise as a soldier for no profanity, no alcohol. Bless God, I wish every person in the military had to make that kind of promise, but they don't. You know what George Washington did? And I looked this up because it fit right in. George Washington made an edict back in his time and said exactly this. The general is sorry to be informed that the foolish and wicked practice of profane cursing and swearing, a vice hitherto little known in our American army, is growing into fashion. This is the mid-1700s. He hopes that the officers will, by example as well as influence, endeavor to check it, and that both they and the men will reflect that we can have little hope of the blessing of heaven on our army if we insult it by our impiety and folly. Added to this, it is a vice so mean and low without any temptation that every man of sense and character detests and despises it. The general of our armed forces said profanity will prevent the blessing of God upon our military. I wonder why we struggle today. I wonder, we've got the greatest military in the world right now in the United States of America. But if we ever wonder why we don't have the full blessing of God, that could be an indication right there. Washington believed it was. You know, a fellow said, well, you know, you ever hear George Patton speak? He was a great general. Yes, he was, but not with the blessings of God on it. I'd rather have the blessings of God. Now, if our military, if General George Washington can think that our appearance makes a difference to all that watch us, and we want the blessings of God on us by our appearance, by our profanity, by our abstaining from profanity, how much more so a good soldier of Jesus Christ? A good soldier maintains good appearance. Number two, letter B. A good soldier maintains battle readiness. Battle readiness. Now that's a military phrase. Look if you would, it's a biblical phrase. Look over at Ephesians chapter 6, and you know where we're going here. Ephesians chapter 6. We need to maintain battle readiness. A soldier is not always engaged in a battle. There are times of peace as well as times of war. But he has to always be battle ready. He's always got to be expecting that next fight to begin. Now you know what Ephesians 6 says in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor. Can we call that body armor? That's what our modern day military calls it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now again, I am thankful for our American military that stands the watch so that you and I are free where we're at right now. And their battle is against flesh and blood. It's against ISIS. It's against terrorism. It's against communism. It's against socialism. It's against all those different things. I'm thankful that they're there to fight against flesh. But that leaves us with the other battle, which I might say is a greater battle. And that is, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Say, preacher, I don't feel like I'm in a battle right now. You need to be getting ready because a battle's coming. We say this all the time. You're either coming into out of a trial, you're going through a trial, or you're going to be going into a trial. One of the three. The same thing is true of a battle. You've either been through a spiritual battle, you are in a spiritual battle, or you're getting ready to go into a spiritual battle. That's the course of this life. And you and I need to be battle ready. Therefore, he says in verse number 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." That's our job as a soldier. As a soldier of Jesus Christ. Not fighting against flesh and blood. Our enemy is not human. Our enemy is spiritual. And that battle, folks, is greater than the physical battle is. And that battle is more prevalent than the physical battle is. And that battle is more destructive than the physical battle is. And if you've been a Christian any time, you have watched while that enemy has taken people down one at a time. Mowed them down and defeated them. He walks about, the Bible tells us, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We need to be battle ready. How much training does a soldier go through? Every day is training. Now there are periods of training that are very intense when they go for specific training for different things, but they're being trained all the time. Where they're allowed to walk during the day and how they're allowed to walk there and the stance and all that, everything is training. You and I are being trained as soldiers for the Lord. Our training is constant. Now, we're not always sitting behind a book and looking at graphs and tables, but everything we do in our life is a test of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You'll notice in this armor, and you've always heard it before, there's no room for deserters. In the army of the Lord, there's no room for a deserter. You know why? All the armor that's given here for the helmet, for the breastplate, for all that, all the armor is for the front of the body. They have no protection in the back because the enemy is never supposed to see the back. You never run from the enemy. You're always moving forward. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are to be battle ready. How do you get battle ready? By training. Where do you get your training? I'm so glad you asked. Right here in church. This is where we get our training, in the Word of God. You can get your training at your dinner table when you sit down and read the Word of God. You can get your training in communicating with your commander-in-chief by times of prayer. Our life is to be used training and getting ready for the battle. But we're so distracted by the enemy. Notice what it said there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look back there very quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse number 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. A soldier is single-minded. A soldier has one job, and that's to fight. Now I know we have responsibilities. We have to provide for our family. We have to do things in this society to survive. But we always need to be mindful that we are soldiers, not just soldiers, but good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We have to maintain battle readiness. You've got to know your weapon. Your weapon is a sword. That's your sword right there. How'd you like to get into a battle and have a weapon that you didn't know how to use? Get in there maybe with an M16 and get in there and not know everything about that weapon. You know when you get in the military and you're using that weapon, they tell you to take that thing apart and clean it and put it back together in your sleep. Forrest Gump's not the only guy that could do that. Did you get that? Okay. They could take that thing apart and put it back together faster. Why? Because when you get in the battlefield and you're going to use it, if it locks up, you're in trouble. You've got to know exactly how to handle it and what to do. You've got to know that weapon inside and out, front to back. There's your weapon right there. You're not going to get enough of it by just glancing through it every once in a while. We've got to train. We've got to be battle ready. Maintain good appearance. Maintain battle readiness. Number three, the C. Keep good company. Keep good company. Every soldier is an individual. All right, you've got to start with the individual. Every soldier is an individual. But no one soldier can win a battle. No one soldier can win a war. No one soldier can defeat the entire enemy. It just cannot happen. Now, I know there's guys like Sergeant York in Germany, and I know they did some, but nobody wins the whole battle of the whole war by themselves. God did not call us to be a lone wolf. In fact, a lone wolf in the military is called a mercenary. God did not call us to be mercenaries. He called us to be soldiers. So what company do we keep? Well, a soldier is an individual, but he's part of a squad. And that squad is part of a platoon. And that platoon is part of a company. And that company is part of a battalion. And that battalion is part of a division. And if we could get John Morton up here, he could fill in all the other details of all the other things. You get the picture? That guy is not anything. He's not going to be successful. He's not going to succeed on his own. He's got to be part of a larger group to win the battle. I'm not impressed by lone wolves. I'm not impressed by mercenaries. And I'm certainly not impressed with deserters. Ones that want to be on their own and go their own direction and leave the training of good company. When military guys go off base, they very rarely go off base by themselves. Now, unless they've got a specific thing that... When they go off base, it's like ladies using the restroom. Never go by themselves. Always in twos or threes or always in groups. When a military guy goes off base, it's a bunch of guys going together. Why? Because there's security there, there's safety there. Did you know that when military guys go into town, usually where most military bases are, Jacksonville, North Carolina, places like that around army bases, that all the people that live around there are not just thrilled and excited about the military presence in their town. Most of them look down their nose at the military. So those guys are not safe going individually into those places. They usually make sure they're going by twos or threes anywhere they go. They keep good company. May I use that as a challenge for you and I? We're living in a hostile world. We're living in a world that if you represent Jesus Christ by your appearance and your battle readiness, you're not going to fit in around here, and they would like nothing more than to beat you up and chew you out. So we travel in fellowship of believers. Now again, I'm not writing you a rule and say, every time you leave your house, make sure you got two other believers in the car with you. But I'm saying we need to see the value and the importance of good company. It works that way. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." My question for you this morning is, do you want to be, not do you want to be a soldier? Because if I understand the Bible right, the minute you got saved, you became a soldier in the army of the Lord. You didn't have a choice. When you got saved, you were enlisted. You volunteered. But now the Bible says you need to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And a good soldier is mindful of his commander-in-chief. A good soldier is mindful of his captain. Back in Bible days, captain was the highest rank there was. So Jesus is called the captain of our salvation. Back then it was the captain of the Lord's host. He is our guide. He is our ruler. He wants our devotion. He wants our entire life. He wants us to desire. I know not everybody's got the military mindset, but he wants us to have that desire to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Will you endeavor to be that? Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, this morning it's